Wake up, folks. It's Andy Dick, and this is Addicted.
Inside the mind of Andy Dick, so many ways to turn. So take your pick. Inside the mind of Andy Dick.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm talking. Now, isn't she a sex therapist, specialist kind of thing? No.
No.
She's so cute. Look at her. I wish you were here in person, but.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm here with my daughter, too.
Hello.
Meg. Yeah, but I thought you were a.
No, well, I'm a recovery specialist.
Oh.
I'm an addiction counselor, and I'm an author of a couple books that are about, you know, recovery, self-care.
Right.
And, you know, not necessarily with AA, just kind of following my 12-step guide. My book is called Rewired. I'm sober myself 14 years.
So. Oh, wow. I forgot your name.
My name is Erica Spiegelman.
Erica Spiegelman. Okay.
Yeah. So nice to formally meet you both.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You're so pretty. Are you married?
Thank you. Yes.
Why did I think you were a sex addiction specialist?
I've been on the Playboy channel as a therapist and you know, different networks like that and platforms, but, you know, no, never as a sex expert.
They called him Hef, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
He was like a surrogate father to me. He really was.
He?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. He was so, he took care of me.
He was a very nice guy. Very
so
nice guy. I met him years ago. Yeah.
He died a couple of years.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe that, unfortunately.
Well, he was alive, but anyways, yeah.
Did you go to his funeral?
A long life.
I don't like going to any funeral.
Would you go to mine?
Yes. Only because you're right in front of my face.
But God forbid. We'll knock on wood with that one. So, yeah.
Why would I?
No, you don't like going to funerals.
No, but you're not going to die before me.
You never know.
Oh, my God. So that's Meg Dick, my daughter, who's talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely Meg. I know. We were just talking before we started, and she was just telling me how she moved out a couple months ago. So I was just kind of getting to know your relationship a little bit. And she was saying that you guys talk every day.
Yep.
Yep.
You have a problem with it, Meg?
No, it's lovely. You should call me more, actually.
I should?
Really?
No.
But I can't win.
It's nice. So, Andy, can I ask you? So, do you feel like she's like someone to check in with and feels safe to you, obviously?
It was upsetting when she moved out because she's 23. She's been going out with this guy for like 7 years,
mm-hmm.
longer than any relationship I've ever had.
That's long. Yeah.
I know, right? And I got her and her boyfriend to move in with me.
He duped us. He completely, we got duped, dude. He was sober for like 7 months, I think, which was a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time for him.
Immediately throw me under the bus.
And then literally I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe this will be a good idea. He was like, yeah, we'll film stuff. It'll be great. We'll be healthy. I'm like, I'm down. And then literally 1 week into us living there, all hell broke loose. Hasn't stopped drinking since.
So, shut up.
I'm telling the facts.
So anyways, she came up to me and said, Dad, I'm moving out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? When?
Well, do you understand?
When?
Was there?
Yep. I said, when? She's like, today.
Yeah. Well,
you have to give 30-day notice?
No. I was telling you for—
Only 2 weeks notice when it comes to a parent, you know?
The day he got home when he started drinking after that first week, I said, Dad, you know, I'm not going to be able to live here drinking.
Why? What was the bad part?
There's so many.
Go, give me three of them.
Of you drinking?
Of the bad part.
There are homeless people over constantly. There are drugs and alcohol everywhere. I can barely work in the day. And it's a nightmare at night. I can't get any sleep. And then I have to work in the day.
So that's not good.
That's three. I could probably list 20.
This podcast is not going to air.
This is good. This is what we should be talking about.
Meg, obviously it's upsetting to see your father out of control.
Can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
Yeah, people say to me, oh my God, what are you doing? Your daughter's here. I'm like, oh, trust me. You know how long I've known her? Since she was zero. And she, you know what I mean? Like, she knows. I put her.
I know she knows. I was really good friends with my father in that way. And we drank together. We carried on. We stayed up late. You know, it was like crazy. But at the same time, I think there was part of me that suffered because I did want someone that was safe. But, you know, on a serious note, you guys, you know, just to have kind of boundaries with one another moving forward would be something like to discuss, especially, you know, we could talk about the past and what went on. But do you guys feel like you have like a mutual respect for one another and understand each other's boundaries? Have you ever had a conversation around this subject matter? Meg? Like if he does something? So. No? Okay.
Not about boundaries.
Okay.
Well, what the heck? Well, like what kind of boundaries?
Yeah, like what kind of boundaries?
What do you need, Dr. Erica?
So listen. So it's very easy. It's almost like this two-sentence little coping skill. It's when you do this, I will do that. So like when you are, let's say, drunk or high in front of me, I'll walk out of the room or I'll leave or I'll move out. When you
Can I stop you already? Because I like that. And I have that with my roommates right
You
now.
Do? Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, if things get crazy or you don't like the people that are over or I'm crazy, just leave.
Okay.
Yeah, and they do.
Well, that's not so much as a boundary.
I did kind of have that though years ago, I think when you were drinking one time. And I don't think I ever told you, but I said it to myself. I'm like, I'm just going to not talk to him when he's drinking. And I kind of just did that. Right. I don't think I ever told you.
And guess who probably didn't care?
You. Yeah.
Well, because you know what? We've never had a conversation about this and communication is key. Like we're not mind readers here. Like, so if something bothers Meg, she can safely express it to you, right? Andy, you're not going to get mad at her.
Yeah.
No, I never would.
Okay.
You know, one time I was telling somebody this yesterday, I've never hit any of my kids, but one time I yelled at her real bad because she like bent my blinds on the window, these metal blinds, and I went a little berserk, and she just
I freaked out,
cried so hard,
shut myself down, and I ran to my room of 1,000 stuffed animals, and I buried myself in them for until mom picked me up.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
So, but that's a perfect example, Meg, of when if you could say like if you raise your voice to me like that, it triggers her. It triggers her to a point where she cries. I mean, that obviously brings up something like your tone of voice or the way that you're speaking to her.
It's
but
true.
She could say,
"I cry every time he yells at me now." I do.
I only yelled at you that one time.
Well, yeah, that when I was a kid, that's the only time he ever yelled at me. Now,
okay, well,
I
this
mean,
is good. This is good feedback.
I do. Well, if I'm trying to like, I don't know.
You
well,
get mad.
So let's learn this today.
Erica, what?
I was saying, let's figure out a system today of some non-negotiables is what I call them. Of just like how.
That should be your middle name, Meg.
Non-negotiable
dick. Okay. Like,
well, it's
and
good.
What would that
I'm proud
be?
Of her.
Yeah. She's great. She's the best one of the family. I'm picking favorites.
Until it changes tomorrow. Okay, let's hear what Erica has to say.
So Meg, let's say this. For any time he does, let's say as an example, because you guys brought it up, raise your voice, you know, use that kind of tone. I'll walk out of the room or I'll be able to kind of separate myself, leave the space that we're in.
Non-negotiable number one. Now, hang on a minute. When was the last time I yelled at you for real?
Well, I guess, I don't know when, but...
But it could be tone of voice too.
You get mad at things.
I'm getting mad right the fuck now.
No, yeah, you get mad at nothing. Like literally nothing.
Not.
Like the other day, like you could have yelled at that point. I was honestly expecting you to when I didn't answer your FaceTime, but your FaceTime wasn't working. I never received a FaceTime and you get so mad. But I'm like, Dad, like I swear to God, I never received a FaceTime and me and Austin were trying to help you out, figure it out. And you get mad at these things that just
don't. That's true. I got mad.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, go
so
ahead.
I know you love each other. I could feel it. And I know you're close. But in order for a relationship to get healthier, things we could work on are understanding each other's boundaries. And then knowing when she does hang up the phone, like if you yelled at her next time and she says, Dad, I told you when you yell at me, I'm going to hang up the phone. So I'm going to do that. I'll talk to you later. I love you. Bye. When she does that, you'll understand now that that's a boundary.
I don't think I yell over the phone. It's pretty much to your face.
Well, no, you actually don't yell at me to my face. It's only when, like, we're on the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What would I yell at you about?
It's the stupidest thing that doesn't
like,
even make
sense. Give me one.
Like
you can't. See? Uh-huh.
Well, like, yeah, when I moved out, there you were understanding
at
first.
I was very upset. By
the way,
then
you were sad, then you were mad and blocking
me. Oh, yeah, that's what
me.
I was going to tell you, Erica. When mm-hmm. Yes, I blocked her.
He blocks me a lot, but he blocks everybody
well, it
a
really,
lot.
I do. I was really upset that she moved out and because it's the last few years that I would have to live with her before she gets married to this guy.
I know.
And then what am I going to do? Move into to their garage.
Andy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So do you have any insight to why she moved out? I mean, you understand like the,
yeah,
you
she
know.
Said it. She just said it. I was drinking and there.
Right.
By the way,
right.
Don't say homeless people.
Well, it's true.
Well, it sounds like I pick up bums in the street or the alley and bring them in.
It's pretty much what happens.
No.
Yeah, these people
they're
do
my
not.
Friends.
They're your friends that do not have places to go or to live.
I know,
so you
and
bring
I feel
them
bad
there.
For them.
At so one point, there was like seven people living there. And I'm like, yo, guys, like, are you going to help pay these bills? Like, you guys have the AC on for all night. I wake up freezing. And they're like, oh, we don't live here. I'm like, yeah, you do. A month is living here.
Yeah. I mean, all this stuff obviously would be non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable.
Meg,
non-negotiable
dick.
Strangers in the house, non-negotiable. You know, partying till 5 a.m., non-negotiable. These kinds of things have to be discussed when you're roommates,
well,
you know?
We're not roommates anymore, so
I
you
know,
can
I
take
know,
it
I know.
Out.
Yeah.
Because I pretty much stay up till 5 a.m., and there's
do
always
you?
Strangers. Yes.
Always?
Always.
Yes.
Every night.
Actually. And but everybody
like,
complains about it. What?
Is it because you want company? Like
yeah.
You feel lonely?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Oh, see, she's a good doctor. She's going to make me cry already.
No.
And
I
it's
know.
True. She sees that in you. You need to be with people. And if you're not with people, you have to be talking to somebody. It's true. Yeah.
But you know what?
Getting anxious just thinking about being alone.
Oh,
yeah.
So sad.
But you know what it is? Also, can I say, you've never really had probably healthy solitude. You've never, you know, and also when you're drinking and you're, listen, when you're drinking or high or whatever is going on, if you're hijacked by something, you want people around, you know, like you want to engage, you want to feel connected. And so again, until you really have a long period of abstinence and learn how to be on your own in the silent moments and start doing things on your own, that you, starting to build self-love, it's going to not, you know, it's not going to be easy to be alone.
Do you like being alone though when you are sober?
Nope.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask the doctor, yeah. Erica, because you keep saying drinking and drugs. What drugs do you think I do?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying marijuana is probably around or cocaine, right? Maybe some of those things when you're up at
That's
5
it.
In the morning.
You nailed
fuming,
them both.
Right?
Yeah, that
yeah,
was it.
Okay.
Never heroin.
No.
Or pills.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not judging no matter what it is. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I know for myself, living that lifestyle for a long time, that, you know, you're up till 5 in the morning probably from certain things.
Yeah, but also just having fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah, of course it's fun. It's fun until there's negative consequences or there's other consequences that are affecting the people you love. Like, this is what this conversation is about.
Yeah.
It's fun until someone else is hurt by it or it's fun until a relationship starts falling apart. And so that's what I wanted to kind of help you guys figure out today is how you can move on by building.
The fuck,
you know.
Hang on one second, Erica. The fuck are you laughing at?
It's just funny looking at you like just... You look a little distraught.
Well, I am. And I was thinking about...
He's listening.
Yeah. And that I had... this week alone, I like flipped out on my roommates to the point where they really just left.
What happened?
I don't really know. I just start getting... aggro and angry and start yelling
like scary
and breaking
aggro.
Like yeah
yeah
throwing things.
What was the frustration triggered by? Do you remember? Is it just were you drunk know, or
probably look I'm going through a tough time, you know, when Meg, you know, blame it on Meg.
What did I do?
You moved out.
No. Oh, you've been like this your whole life. This ain't me.
And my boyfriend.
No.
Huh?
No.
My boy.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Erica.
Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I could tell that you want love and you want company and you want those relationships and all these like things. I could tell you have a big heart. And I'm just saying, we could talk about your roommates and other people, but Meg's here today. And so it was just about, I think,
what's up?
I don't know. I want you guys to move forward.
Oh, you
with
know
some...
what? Oh, watch how I turn it on you.
Oh,
real
great.
Quick.
Here we go. This is now. My life, guys.
Meg, let's focus on one thing though for today. Just, I want to know what you actually feel needs to change in your relationship. What do you feel between the
in
two?
In our relationship?
Yeah.
And then I hope you ask me that.
Just I will. You're coming next.
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice, since we've talked about it, is not to get like so yelled at. Just, I feel like I kind of have to like tread on water sometimes, like when I'm talking to you, because
you mean eggshells. It's called eggshells.
Oh, eggshells, yeah. No water. What am I, bad? Yeah. Like, you have to walk on eggshells when I talk to you. And I know a lot of other people feel like this. Because
really?
Yeah, definitely. Because you can just completely snap
flip
out of nowhere.
Yeah,
like,
know,
out
right
of out of nothing. You don't even know what you said. And it could have been even you weren't even talking to him. And he accumulates this in his own mind something. And then
horrible.
Yeah, it sucks.
It evokes fear. Fear around you. Fear of what you're going to act like.
Put the fear of me in them.
You do.
Anything else, Meg? Anything else?
Not that I can think of right now, no.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Well, I don't know. I mean, just like the simple things like, yeah, it'd be nice for you not to drink. That would probably help our relationship. But then again, also, you never know. You never know.
You drink.
Yeah, I do drink. I am a normal person who can drink occasionally some weekends and then go to work the next day.
So, Andy,
mm-hmm.
We get to you now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your level of resistance to getting sober? I mean, from one being like, no way am I going to get sober, to 10, I could possibly get there. Where are you at now in your...
I wake up every day and I'm like, I just can't do this. It's too much. It's like, it fills me with things. I wake up depressed.
Yeah.
And I know it's from whatever I did the night before or whatever, you know?
Well, and chemically, you know, it changes. It's a depressant, most of these things. And then you're so anxious because your body is physically maybe addicted to something a little bit. And then the only thing, it's like the cycle, the only thing to make you feel better is to just have another drink.
Uh-huh.
So it's
just,
so the only way really, and I, you know, to break that is to get out of your own way and get out of your own environment and have someone else kind of be in charge of, you know.
Are you saying to go into another rehab? You know,
no.
Guess how many rehabs I've been to, Erica?
I'm probably 30.
27. They're good.
27.
You, Price is Right. You lost.
Do you want to be sober though?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, but there's programs, Andy, out there that it's not necessarily rehab, but it's
oh,
having
I want to talk to you about that. Like the one that, wait, do you run this one where you can smoke pot? That one?
No.
Do you know
I don't
about
run
that one? There's a couple of those.
I've heard of a program like that. Yeah. It's harm reduction. Listen, it's better if you were just in a safe place getting off of the booze and the other drugs.
Oh, I remember that phrase, harm reduction. Where did that come from? What book?
Well, it's a word in psychology that means like we reduce the harm of the usage of any addictive substances by using other things.
Are you an actual doctor?
No, I'm an addiction specialist and therapist. I have a private practice. And so I see clients through Zoom now and phone sessions.
I hate this whole Zoom thing. I really do. It drives me crazy.
Me too.
Do you agree with like that pot can help, marijuana can help? And
you know, it depends on the circumstance, but I think that marijuana can help. A lot of people deal with anxiety and other things that are going on in their lives, you know, but it depends on the situation. I'd have to understand like what you're dealing with on an emotional, mental level. Pot's not good for everyone mentally. It could cause psychosis and other horrible things for some individuals. And then for some people, it really does help get off other drugs and it kind of helps manage their anxiety while they're, you know, trying to transition from another addiction. So it depends. It depends. I don't think it's an evil drug, but I think, you know, if you're doing it daily, it's psychologically very addictive.
Yeah.
So you like at a five or of like actually motivated to try and get
five
sober?
Out of what? 5 out of 10?
Yeah. One being no way do I want to be sober. 10 being, you know, let's do it.
I'm just going to say 5.
So listen, do you want to change though? Is there any motivation to change your life on any aspect? Going to bed earlier, not having strangers in your house?
I've done all that. Oh, so I've done all that and nothing actually changes. Do you know what I mean?
Because you don't have help though. That's the problem.
I've had tons. I'm getting help from you right now.
Well, yes, but I'm not a sober companion. That would be nice for you to have as somebody that could help you. Like that.
Really? Why don't you tell that to all my dead friends?
It'd be good for you to have like sober ass friends.
I do. My roommates, by the way, don't drink and don't do drugs.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie. What do you mean?
Okay.
I'm sure, Andy, you know this because you've been to treatment centers and stuff, but sober companions are hired. They're not your roommates or friends. They're people that are hired to kind of make sure.
Yeah, I know what they are. I've had them on movies and I'm like,
You hate them?
Well, I hate them.
Maybe you just haven't had one you
away.
Like.
I slip away from them, which no, because I then, can
but
do.
Then that means you don't want it, right?
Just to get a drink. Or whatever.
That means you're not motivated to stay sober. But if you really wanted to stay sober and utilize a sober companion as it's supposed to be used, then maybe that would help, you know. But it depends on if only you want it, you'll, you know.
Girl, can I call you girl instead of doctor?
Yes, I'm not a doctor, so you call me girl.
Okay.
Just call me Erica. Call me by name.
Yeah. Say my name.
My name is bitch girl, so you're better, Erica.
Have I called you? Listen up, bitch girl.
And you'll remember my name. If you say it, you'll remember it, you know?
I know your name is Erica, but I like to say girl. I like it. I feel like it's a term of endearment. But when I call some of my guys boy or kid or...
They don't like that.
That doesn't sound as nice.
You never know what someone's going to like or not like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't sound as nice, boy. But
well, they are boys. They're like in their early 20s.
Are they? Uh-huh.
God, you're funny.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Back to YouTube. Deep breaths. Anyway.
Well, I've been doing that a lot lately. I've been stressed out. No, I really have.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it. But does it make you feel stressed or does it make you feel, or how does it make you feel when hearing that Meg feels fearful of you sometimes or is walking on eggshells?
Makes me want to hit her. Just kidding.
You didn't know that people feel like that? Ask well, like I didn't mom know
you,
or
I didn't know you felt like that.
Really?
Right.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, you probably also just don't remember most of the times that you do get mad at me. That's what I always think. Because then
I
you're fine.
That's an excuse.
I want an example, specific example.
I'll try to think right now while we talk.
Yeah, try to come up with one. I'd like.
Andy, can you say that you'll try to be more mindful of not yelling? Can you be a little bit more in touch with your anger if it starts coming up and pause or, well, you know, don't answer the phone?
It's hard to answer that because I don't know what I got mad about.
The last time I like remember the specific thing, because they're, well, and also like I don't remember because like they're just so meaningless. Like it's just such a meaningless yell that I really don't really take it that much to heart, because I know that, yeah, like you're just mad.
How smart she is.
No, but it does bother her. The tone bothers her, right, Meg? I mean, it does trigger like a little bit of like.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I don't want my dad like to be upset with me. Like, I don't like that feeling. That's the feeling.
You really got to come up with one. I want to hear her.
Well, I remember like when I lived in Canoga Park with those two other roommates, me and Brandon, and people would call me, and this happens all the time when you're drinking, like, Meg, your dad needs fucking help. Like, he's in the streets. Like, I can't get him to come home. Like, you have to go pick him up. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to pick him up. Like, I'm not mom. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I have
those Al-Anon
qualities. No, I know. I'm getting to it. Whoa. And then you call me. And this happens all the time too, but not anymore. You would call me and be like, Meg, like I have to come over. Like you have to come get me. Like I need somewhere to go. No one's picking me up. I don't know what to do. I'm just sitting on a bush. Like you call it curbing it with Andy Dick. I'm on the side of the street.
I'm in the shrubs.
And I'm like, Dad, like I can't bring you here. I live with three other people. It's 2 a.m.
Then what?
And you get really mad.
Who wouldn't?
Then you block me. You yell at me.
All of this is all upsetting for anybody to have to go through, right?
I'm in the shrubs. What about that?
Exactly.
I'm going to yell at both of you.
And that's what makes me, it hurts me so much because like, God, I want to help my dad. I wish I had my own place so that you could just come stay with me at the time.
The shrubs.
You know? But then also, like, I can't do this to my roommates. He'll cause mayhem in my house. These people have work tomorrow.
How did those roommates turn out?
Well, we are not roommates anymore.
All of this is a good example, I think, Meg, of you just being put in a position where, you know, your role in life is not to come rescue your father who's in the shrubs, you know? I mean,
I know that, yes.
And I know that, too. And I apologize if I did that a lot. A lot? Or?
I mean, you're
one of the only people I trust. You know, I really don't trust people anymore.
You shouldn't trust people. I mean, most of the people in your life right now are not in great people.
Everybody's life, I think. I really don't think anybody should trust anybody.
See, I think that's what you think because you know the people you surround yourself with and they fucking suck so much. They steal from you. They use you and it's like you realize that. I know you do. You're not stupid. He just wants to be with people. He doesn't care what they'll do to him. He just really needs someone to be with him, and all of his good friends won't hang out with him when he's like this.
Meg, have you had any therapy yourself, just alone?
I did when I was like 18. I did it for like a little bit. And then the one time that I went.
Who made you do that? Me or
mom? I don't think anyone made me do it. I kind of wanted to do it.
You sought it out?
I didn't saw it out. It was at SOBA when you guys were doing all the therapy. So I was like, I want to do it. Like, it seems like it's cool. Yeah. But it didn't turn out well.
Meg, it's very good for you to have some therapy. And I mean, if I was your therapist, we would do a lot of good work because I think you understand naturally that it would be really good for you to have some insight into really where her narratives come from, how she's developed this role in her life and kind of your identity, Meg, and taking care of him and the codependency and all these things like just have to be discussed and it'd be good for you to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, great. Work it out. I'm the therapist is not my therapist. So
no,
you can be my therapist.
You would do well having a therapist too. And I mean, I think it would be.
You know, I've had hundreds of therapists.
How'd they go?
I bet.
You're looking at it.
Oh, God.
Meg is so fucking funny. It's like unbelievable.
You know, but you have to be willing and wanting to do the work yourself or else it's never, you know, it's never
going
to.
Now, when you say work.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Yeah. Am I supposed to just zip it up?
No.
What?
When I say work, I mean actually be open-hearted and open-minded to change. No. And then saying, okay, I'm going to make these changes, like the boundaries.
Can I call you baby, by the way?
No.
Damn it. Sure. Don't
I'm going to answer that right now. This is a therapist talking to you. You're not going to call your therapist baby.
Can I or no?
Let's see if it feels right. Let's go.
Okay, yeah. Baby.
Doesn't feel right to me. Okay, just go.
You know, it kind of feels right. Let's go. Yeah.
She's into it.
Baby's liking it.
What were you going to say before we forget? Let's go.
I know, I already did. My brain, by the way, you know, I got concussed last year, like multiple times, like three times. Knocked out.
Yeah.
I was in intensive care unit for like 3 days for one of them. I know, it sucked. Horrible. Knocked the fuck out. Died for.
That's horrible, Andy. That's very scary.
You should see the brain scan. And I imagine a spider web that.
No, it's worse than that.
Like many birds just went straight through. Well,
it's worse than that. It's like your brain and then golf ball size.
That's exactly
holes.
What I remember. I imagine. Yeah.
Horrible. That's scary. Obviously, that was
for
difficult
you,
for me.
Because you're the one that has to deal with me.
Meg, was that scary for you to see him all?
She wasn't there.
I didn't see the actual scan, but I honestly kind of knew what it was going to look like already. And he really, he went into the scan literally saying, being like, I was like, Dad, like, how do you think your brain's going to be? Like, how do you think it's going to look? And you're like, oh, I know it's going to look fine. It's going to be the beautifulest brain
I turned into a Southern guy.
That's how you sound. You always do that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fine.
See, always.
I was shocked, actually, when I saw it. My brain's not doing good. I know that.
Yeah.
Why don't
you care?
But
I'm alive. What about that? Shut up.
But you know what, you guys?
What?
Alcohol, in general, will eat away at your brain and all the tissues in your body and your nervous system. And so
yum,
all these
yum,
things
yum.
Are not going to help.
And especially cocaine, right? That shit just eats you up.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any?
So listen, I want to wrap it up with you guys. I want to come out with this.
We're already done.
Dad, listen to her.
No, I want to come out of this session. I want to go back to the point of this. You've kind of gotten one thing established, I think, is having one boundary established today.
Which is what?
Right, Meg?
Yes.
Is that please, Andy, try to be more mindful if you start getting angry, upset, not to yell at Meg. Meg, if he yells at you, you're allowed to hang up the phone or walk away.
Does that help, like, anything?
Yeah.
Yes, because
you
need a consequence. No. Because you're going to be like the little girl that cries wolf. So if you say, Dad, when you yell at me, I'm going to hang up the phone, and you actually don't hang up the phone or you call him back.
No,
or you,
it sounds like I yell at you all the time now.
We're making an example out of this, Andy. Oh, we're getting just this as an example.
We need something else out of this because that really
you just don't remember, I think. That's what it is. You probably don't remember like 50% of our conversations.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast, which I'm starting to think was nothing.
I know, and you're not going to even remember this non-negotiable.
If he can't remember.
He doesn't remember anything, dude. Sorry to call you dude. He really doesn't.
I like when you call me dude.
I called her dude.
Her.
You're saying dude like in general, you know. But yeah. So I just want you guys to have moving forward, having respect for one another, and with respect means understanding when each other are triggered, right? Or when Meg is upset about something, or if something you do upsets her, you have to be open-minded to listening.
Sure. I hear you. Now, what about when I'm upset?
What are you upset about?
I get upset. I'm getting a little upset right now.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm being attacked.
No. We're just talking
That's
about-
That's a lot of no's.
No.
That's five no's.
So now it's your turn. Fine. Andy, you want any boundaries with Meg? Does she cross any lines for you that are uncomfortable?
No, I would just like to see her more often.
Cute.
No, it was really hard for me when you moved out. It really was. Like I fucked up and you're not there anymore.
It would have been nice to live together and do what we were talking about doing. It would have. That's what I was excited about.
Under healthier circumstances.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't hate you whatsoever. I just can't.
I know.
I couldn't have been there. You know what I mean? It wasn't healthy for me or Brandon. you know?
Meg, you have to take care of yourself, right? Yeah. You have to take care of yourself.
And honestly, like, if it was just me, like, I could have handled it, you know? But I wouldn't have wanted to, but I could have handled it. But the fact that Brandon was there, like, we just couldn't be there.
I think he hears that.
You know this, though, right?
I don't like when you say we.
Well, no, both of us could not be there. And I could not have been there.
Yeah,
he could not have been there.
Yeah.
Both of us individually together could not have been there.
Which is,
together,
I guess,
we could not have been there.
You know what?
Meg, but you also didn't feel comfortable yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
It obviously affected you, negatively.
Mm. Well, it's scary.
No,
you're not scary. I know you would never touch me. But if you, Erica,
I can barely hug you. You know, it's hard for me to do that. I don't, because my dad and my mom never hugged me.
Yeah, mom and you are very not affectionate either.
I was when you were a little kid, because you were always like this. She would go like this to me, like, pick me up.
Of course.
I had to.
You love
her. Yeah, she's a baby.
Honestly, and I hope my other kids don't hear this episode, but she's my fucking favorite.
Until tomorrow.
You know, my friends say, wait, how old are your kids? And I'm like, oh my God, 23, 25, and 33. They're not kids. With all of them, I was with them every day up until they're about 5 or 7. And then just had a falling out with the mom, pretty much. Bad one.
I know. I know the story.
All right. We're not getting into it. But.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So, Meg, do you feel comfortable living in your own space? Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm so happy. Oh, God. I mean, I'm miserable. I wish I was back with Dad. He's about to backhand me. No.
I'm sure your father wants you to be happy and wants you to feel comfortable and wake up feeling safe.
I'm ready to work. I am rejuvenated in my sleep.
Right.
I get to stop working, watch a movie.
Good job. By the way,
go to sleep at a decent hour.
Speaking of your new apartment, did you take that chrome lamp?
No, I didn't. That's still there. Do you want me to take it?
It's not there.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care.
I care.
You hated that thing.
I probably gave it to somebody, whatever.
Andy, if you do want to change your lifestyle in any way.
Call you. All right.
Can you call
Here's
me?
My number. Let me
yes.
Let me get your number, baby.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Did you hear that? Under her breath, she's like,
listen. There's so many options, Andy, for you that don't involve rehab, that don't involve AA, that there's other modalities.
Erica, can you talk a little bit about what the other options are?
There's Brandy jumping in. Before you jump in, Brandy, can I ask Erica?
Yeah.
How's it going with you and your husband?
It's going good.
Don't lie to me, girl.
Fabulous.
Oh, it went from good to fabulous?
Fabulous. Why not?
She didn't want to hurt your feelings at first.
So, besides, you know, I know you've been in treatment and AA has been part of your past, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, there's a way to
you know
work
who
with the
took me to my first AA meeting?
Who?
Chris Farley.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
He's my favorite.
Did you like AA? Did you like it at first or no?
Right away, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. People are standing up and sharing shit and shit like that.
Yeah.
And he did just to show me that this is what you do. And my point is that he's dead. So it didn't really work out for him.
No. So can I tell you a little bit about what I do with my clients, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
So based on my book called Rewired, I believe in rewiring our brains. And we rewire our brains in pathways. You listening?
Mm-hmm.
Through a treatment plan, like an individualized treatment plan. Can I talk to you for a second?
I think I'm going into a coma. Or...
Can you stop? Just listen to her. Okay, she's trying to help you.
Go, go,
she's being nice,
right.
Taking her time to help you.
But
Andy, self-care, physical self-care, a routine. So we would start with like a routine. And if you can't do this routine yourself, then maybe having a sober companion, maybe having some help along the way is
good. By the way, don't do this sober companion thing because Chris Farley had that.
And, okay, fine. Yeah,
and once again, he'd be dead.
Well, it's mm-hmm. different with everybody, but...
It is different. But what we're talking about is just creating a new life for yourself, right? And the only way that we could do that is with new routines, new ways of thinking, new ways of behaving, acting, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. you
she
are
right.
what you... You are what you do.
You're right, but
you drink your drinker,
like
right?
My life, except when I wake up in the morning. I really am depressed.
Well, that's like the best time to reflect. Like, you know,
that's when I call you.
Sober.
You know.
I know. And every time you say I'm depressed, and you start yelling at someone to go get you alcohol.
Yeah,
that's no. You don't even live near me.
No, you're not yelling at me to get you alcohol. I said someone in your house.
So listen, right. There are people out there, Andy, that can help.
I just don't get why you don't want to be sober.
Be what? Are you kidding me?
I just don't get alcohol
I guess.
I don't
but he
understand.
He can't do it on his own, Meg. He can't do it on his own. It's going to be very hard.
No, listen. When I am completely stone cold sober.
Yeah, he's more miserable. Literally
and
more
angry.
Miserable. That's what I always say.
That's when I'm going to kill myself. We're not working
on the other things. When you say work, that's not working on yourself.
You're doing the quotes with the fingers.
Yeah, he becomes.
Because before you said, what is work?
Well, it's because he has like serious, like really bad OCD. And when he's sober, it's really bad. Like now, like when he's drinking, he yells at the stupidest things. But when he's sober and like he just like put a vase somewhere that he wanted it to be, and then you move it a centimeter, oh, he will flip out. And that's like with like every little thing. If you move something of his, oh, it's really bad.
You guys.
Aren't you like that?
What?
Girl.
No.
How are you with your husband? Let me go back to that.
Well, you know, I don't drink anymore because it's been 14 years.
14 years, I know. Good thing you.
Listen, I'm not saying that to throw it in your face. I'm saying that.
That's okay, though. I actually am jealous.
No, I'm saying that because I followed my own plan. My plan, what I talk about my clients that I'm trying to have a discussion with you about. I am a walking, breathing, living proof that this works, you know? I walk the walk. I'm not just telling you to do something and not do it myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that because I think you would relate more to somebody that's been through it themselves.
Did you want to be sober when you first?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Let me hear your bottom. Your bottom. Like, what happened?
I'll tell you. But no, I did not want to be sober. Of course not. I think I had more of an internal bottom where I was depressed. I was anxious every day, spiritless, fired from a job. Like, not, you know, I can't even tell you.
Yes.
Shape
you
I
are.
Was in physically, horrible shape mentally, emotionally, shaking every day. Just, it, you know, it was a physical addiction as much as it was mental and emotional. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's me.
I know. That's why we could relate to one another. This is what I'm saying to you.
I'm falling in love with you. What about that?
I've been there. I know. I know how miserable
would
it is.
And ever consider divorce with? Would you? Though?
So anyway, I get it.
Would you ever?
Let the lady be.
I just want. I want you guys to at least come away from this conversation feeling like we discussed something that matters.
I do feel like that.
Okay. You know? Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad.
I didn't know he didn't know that people feel like they're walking on not water, eggshells with them.
Or thin ice, actually.
Thin ice, eggshells, water. But regardless, this is more than just one session. This is like, you know, an ongoing process. So next steps would be to have a follow-up session.
Cat Stevens.
Oh, God.
That's so Cat Stevens went out with this girl that looks like her. I finally figured it out with the holes in my brain. Carly Simon, Thank you. I'm fuck all of you.
This is what happens.
Doesn't she look like, what's her name? I say, I already forgot it.
Carly Simon.
I say, I knew it was Carly. Carly Simon. Don't you see that? Because she's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you, Andy.
Like you. And I really appreciate you. And I'm sorry if I got weird.
Thank you.
You know, no, I love you. Thank you.
You're wonderful. You're wonderful. And Meg, you're wonderful. And I'm happy to spend this time with you guys. And I'm happy to do another session. It's been a pleasure to be with you guys.
We love you. Thank you so
you're
much.
You're great. Thank you for talking you with us.
Thank you, Erica.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Inside the mind of any day, so many ways to turn. So take your pick. Inside the mind.
If you are in the United States or Canada and struggling with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, or a crisis of any kind, please text HOME to 741-741 and a crisis counselor will respond to you right away, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Text HOME to 741-741. And to find more resources and support for addiction, visit addictedpodcast.com/resources or read the show notes of this episode. Please know you are not alone and recovery is possible. It's never too late. Reach out and get help now.